Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge.
Slow the testing down.
Remove him from office.
No justice, no peace.
Cast a vote that will make you proud.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Will you shut up, man?
Listen.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Sup Podcast. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is your final Thursday Sup Podcast of the Trump administration. I have never done a Sup Podcast outside of the Trump administration.
Oh, I don't think anyone has.
No, nobody has.
Yeah.
Truly the end of an era.
Truly, yeah. I'm excited for it to end.
Yeah, because even when we weren't daily, we always did it on Thursday. So it's, I don't know, hits different. Last Thursday pod with Trump in office. How are you feeling after yesterday? Sup had an exciting day yesterday.
We had a very exciting day yesterday. We made a video. And it, so AOC had that fucking like amazing Instagram live, and she's just like so good at speaking.
It's wild. She's amazing.
She's just like a very good communicator and is very passionate. And so I was watching it and I was like, oh, this part is really good. And we like cut it and we like put some like, you know, we made a video out of it. We made it like our own edit. And then she retweeted it.
Within like 10 minutes.
Within 10 minutes. Well, it's funny because we were texting and I was like, wow, this video has so many views. And she must have already retweeted it at that point.
I think she had, but I wasn't. I was like, that would have been too quick. I saw other people retweet it and I thought it was bubbling up from there. But she did like right away.
It's very interesting. We must have someone in her bubble. We must have someone's eye or ear in her bubble.
Well, I mean, yeah. A lot of like, I think congressional staffers and people on the inside, like even if the lawmakers don't follow Sup, like people know. And I think it gets to them. Like I'm convinced that Hillary Clinton's team saw my joke about delete your account when Twitter banned him, because then within 45 minutes they had joked about it, but it's kind of an obvious joke, but we were very pleased. We love AOC. AOC is welcome on the podcast anytime. This is the year.
It was like, it motivated me to work out. You know what I mean? It gave me that like push. I was like, I'm so tired. I don't want to exercise. And then I was like, oh my God, woo.
Yeah. Love it. Well, then we just need to get like a congresswoman we stan every day to engage with our content. Then we could do that.
And then I will have energy. That's all I need.
Yeah.
I'll stop drinking coffee. I'll stop taking Adderall. Is just give me compliments,
that
powerful people. Yeah.
Yeah. On that note, so I mentioned this at the end of yesterday's podcast. So I'm going to do it at the beginning of today's. If you like the pod and you've been enjoying it and it's helped you get through this administration, this week, this month, any period of time, please go ahead and rate and review us in iTunes. If you haven't already, it doesn't have to be a whole long thing. It just signals that people are enjoying the podcast and others should check it out. We wouldn't keep asking you if we didn't feel like it was a simple thing you could do that has like a big return for us. So please check it out. If you have some time and you haven't already, drop us a line. We appreciate it so much.
Yeah. And I just said how much it motivates me. I need I need positive reinforcement to live. Live my life.
Please leave a review. So Brian, for every review we get, Brian will spend half an hour on the treadmill.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just going to be swole by the time we get back in the office together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's get into the news. President Trump has officially become the first president ever to be impeached twice. Trump now makes up half of all presidential impeachments. 10 Republicans ultimately broke party ranks to vote with Democrats to impeach him, citing his role in inciting a mob to kill them just a few days ago as a pretty compelling reason. I guess that's their motivation.
Yeah.
But many, many House Republicans attempted to excuse the president's actions. 93% of them voted against impeachment. Reactions to what you saw yesterday. Were you watching TV all day like I was?
Thankfully, no, I was not. I was trying to like check in and out, you know, as much as I could. But I was just like working, but everything that I've seen or heard from a Republican side has just like infuriated me. You know what I mean? Like, because it's just gaslighting to the umpteenth degree. You know what I mean? Like, to talk about anything other than the fact of what happened. You know what I mean? Like, there's no denying the facts. And so they're talking about like Hollywood and random shit and cancel culture. And it's like, okay, let's bring this back. Let's bring this conversation. Like, if I was like, it's like if I was a professor and I asked for an essay about an impeachment and you started talking about Robert De Niro, I would be like, what the fuck are you, like, F, fail. Like,
oh, truly. I mean, I can't believe that Jim Jordan wore a jacket to give that speech to save of all times. Mm-hmm. To talk about cancel culture. A mob just tried to cancel your actual life, sir. The weird thing about this happening a week out from the end of the term, and I'm not saying no Democrats did this, but it became just a chance for all of them to sort of make their final statement, their closing argument about why they supported him overall. And because there's been, this should have happened after Charlottesville. This should have happened after El Paso. This should have happened after the synagogue attack. And so it sort of provided them an opportunity to clear their names. I mean, they all sounded like absolute clowns. None of them were convincing. Matt Gaetz was booed for saying that for bringing up the BLM protesters.
Yeah.
Jim Jordan said cancel culture. Minority leader Kevin McCarthy said that Trump bears responsibility, but was like, we need to look into it more. We need to censure him. We have everything we need. It was the actual building that you're in.
I don't understand, like, I'm curious what happens outside of Congress, if anything does, because when you look at this, it's, and everyone talks about how this is just like a crime. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I don't understand. So I'm like, so all these people are being arrested right now who took part in this insurrection, you know, however many it is right now, like over 90 or something. Right. And so like, why wouldn't you be arresting Don Jr., Eric Trump, Lara Trump, whatever the fuck her name is, all of those people who spoke at that rally and then told them, we are going to fight. This is your last chance. They are on tape inciting a rally, inciting this mob to go attack the Capitol building. And these people clearly had intentions to do fucking harm to people, do some serious harm. And thank God that they were unsuccessful. It is going to be frightening. That's what it is going to be, frightening, the fucking information that comes out after this, like in the days and weeks and months, like after, because there's going to be investigations. We're going to fucking learn things. And
AOC was saying, she's like, I had a very close encounter that I'm traumatized by that I just can't talk about yet for security reasons.
Yeah. Ayanna Pressley, she spoke, and her chief of staff spoke about how they had to like barricade themselves in her office, and they went to go touch the panic button under her desk, and they had all been stripped out. And they were confused because they'd used them before. No one said anything about them being like, what the fuck is that about? Like, there's so many, and then there's like all of these, like Washington Post has like reported things about, like, you know, them having like prior planning potentially with like people within Congress. And it's like, what are we going to find out? It's crazy. And they're all going to look bad.
That was the only satisfying thing which felt different about this impeachment is just, because the last impeachment, we knew he wasn't going to get convicted, and we didn't know he was going to leave office in a week, and it just was so painful to watch. But this time, it was just, I felt, at this time we had the confidence that they were wrong. A sentiment I've been seeing going around more in recent days that really makes this all hit different, even though it's quite obvious, is that this wasn't just this wasn't an attack on the Capitol. It was an attack on our country. It's almost like, because the Capitol was, that was the point of it. It was where the business was going down that they objected to. It was so tied to Trump, and it was so tied to the MAGA people's argument that it's almost that, like, the location makes us, almost blurs to us what actually happened. This was a terrorist attack on our country. Like, I almost wonder, had all of our lawmakers, had this been, let's say after, I mean, who knows, something could happen after. But let's say this happened after everything, and it wasn't so tied to this moment that because Republicans had made seem like it was up in the air whether Trump was going to win and that there was reason to try to disrupt this process. But let's say this happened like 2 weeks from now, where all of our lawmakers or a lot of them happened to be in a building together for another reason.
Yeah.
And this happened. I think that maybe that would be more clear because it wouldn't have attached to it, well, they were upset about the voter fraud. Mm-hmm. There would be more clarity about it where it's like, we need to separate what they were arguing for against the act, even though there is no reason to indulge their arguments. It's just, like you said, it's a crime. It was a deadly siege on our country. Yeah. It was a terrorist attack on our country, nothing less.
And that's what's so frustrating with Kevin McCarthy saying all this stuff about, like, you know, still, I mean, in saying all these things and also still voting against impeachment. It's just like you peddled this lie that drove these people to want to, in this moment, invade. However, like, it's clear that they've known that this group of people are dangerous because, you know, they spoke to the FBI director in what, like, last year, and they said the biggest threat to our nation is white supremacy, domestic terrorism. And we are finally seeing that really come to fruition. And I don't think that it's going to be the end of it because these people are being enabled by the Republicans in Congress saying that what they did was not against the law. That's basically what they just said. You know what I mean?
Right.
This insurrection. And so why? And then they're saying people like, oh, they don't want to vote no because they're afraid that they're afraid for their families. It's like, so you're saying that that extremism, terrorist extremism is working. You're saying it works because you aren't voting the way you want to vote because you're afraid. Like, yes, I understand the argument is hard, but like,
I don't want to fucking hear Republicans are scared for their families when we're watching Jamie Raskin, who buried his son 2 weeks ago and almost lost his life in the Capitol insurrection and is still grieving as the lead impeachment manager doing his constitutional duty. I don't really want to care. I don't really want to hear about how Republicans feel about their families.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, my brother-in-law is a history teacher and he's like the person I go to for like historical context. I want to read something that's like, what is this going to be like? What is this similar to, like, any sort of conflict in the past? And I was like, what can I read? Like, is it similar to, like, and he's like, honestly, I think we're in like some new waters. Like, you might be able to find something, but this is pretty all new. I'm like, oh, cool.
Yeah, really?
So
oh my God.
So it's like, we're just like navigating. Don't know.
Yeah. I just realized I might have sounded callous. I don't think anything should happen to Republicans' families. I just think that excuse justifies them claiming they can't do the right thing. Because we talked about in the podcast a lot yesterday in that clip I actually sent you this morning about how, like, it already wasn't a peaceful transition of power. Mm-hmm. It already wasn't. It already isn't. The violence that they are going to undertake when Trump is removed, whether that is because it is the end of his term or it is because tomorrow, for whatever reason, he might be removed. So many members on the Democratic side took the opportunity to point out that the attack on our country was a culmination of this white supremacist president's vitriol. Let's listen to Cori Bush describe this in a cool 30 seconds.
Madam Speaker, St. Louis and I rise in support of the article of impeachment against Donald J. Trump. If we fail to remove a white supremacist president who incited a white supremacist insurrection, it's communities like Missouri's 1st District that suffer the most. The 117th Congress must understand that we have a mandate to legislate in defense of Black lives. The first step in that process is to root out white supremacy, starting with impeaching the white supremacist in chief. Thank you, and I yield back.
I thought that was so important when she noted we had a mandate, because that's so true. What happened over the summer, I feel like, had a huge impact on what happened in this election cycle. And I think it was such an important point to make.
It's really amazing that she's there. I'm really excited to, like, hear more of all the shit she's going to, like, all the, like, the things she's going to say. She's, like, a great communicator, and she's passionate, and I think she's a very smart person. I'm excited to see what she does.
Yeah, she was apparently booed after she said this. After the black woman said, as she tweeted it, she tweeted herself, Cori Bush, okay, so you're going to boo the black woman talking about white supremacy?
I know, from Ferguson. Like,
I know.
I think she knows what she's talking about.
She and AOC, I was talking to Dylan about this morning because he's from Missouri, which is, you know, they have Josh Hawley and then the St. Louis area has Cori Bush. And people like Cori Bush and AOC, they just prove that the gatekeepers of politics, like, they mean nothing. These artificial barriers, they don't actually make you smarter or more clever or a better public servant. They just cost money. They require privilege. They're just hoops to jump through. And when you have these incredible women and people of color and people from more diverse socioeconomic backgrounds in Congress, it exposes how useless all of those barriers are and how we don't need them and they have nothing to do with talent. So of course they're so threatened by them.
Also how bad they are at their jobs.
Yeah.
You know,
useless.
It's like,
they don't do them.
Exactly. What the fuck do they do? You know? So I think we talk about a lot is like this like idea of like nepotism and passing on the baton in that way. It just like breeds people not like trying hard because they've just been giving been given things. They don't work hard because they've been
given. You made a whole podcast about it.
Yeah.
So the article now moves to the Senate, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said Trump won't face his trial until after Biden is sworn in next week.
So let's talk about the inauguration. We are less than 6 days out from swearing in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Woo.
Woo.
My hands aren't sweating.
I don't feel it. I don't know. It doesn't feel real. I mean, can't relate, but I'm currently experiencing my last period of the Trump administration. And so I'm just like, oh, this is the last time it's going to be this bad.
Hopefully.
I can just relax next time.
Yeah.
Of this Trump administration.
How dare you?
Yeah.
So obviously amid a deadly pandemic killing thousands of Americans a day, this was always going to be a subdued affair. Lady Gaga and J-Lo will perform during Wednesday's swearing in. I love that Lady Gaga and Joe Biden are like BFFs. It's very cool.
I know. It's amazing. I'm so happy. I love this for them.
She sang at the last day of his campaign in Pennsylvania. And then they also did like all that work together about sexual assault on college campuses. And she like wrote that whole song and was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah. I forgot that Joe Biden played a role in that.
I could do a whole deep dive of like Lady Gaga's political career on the Betches Up. If anyone wants to hear that.
I think,
let me know.
I would be interested in hearing that. Special guest Lady Gaga.
Yes. Well, I mean, if she comes on, then yes, obviously. The event will be held on the west front of the U.S. Capitol. On Wednesday evening, there will be an inauguration special hosted by Tom Hanks, including performances from Demi Lovato, Justin Timberlake, and Aunt Clemens.
Woo!
Wow.
What a night.
Well, I mean, what an upgrade from the celebrities at the last inauguration.
Yeah. I'm bringing competence back.
Yeah. Beautiful. JT, is he on this podcast?
Shut up.
No, I don't know. I'm excited to be excited.
Night. I'm excited. I just ordered. We have cool wine glasses that say keep calm and carry on and treat yourself. And I am excited to use them.
Oh, little plug. How exciting is it that Trump won't be tweeting? We won't be distracted by some asshole making snide comments.
It's magnificent.
It's like, he's like one of those people. It's like, just enjoy it, man. Like when you're watching like a movie, he's like, oh, that would never happen. Like, we don't have to deal with that anymore.
I know. It's really magnificent. And the fact that his last tweet, we'll never forget, his last tweet was saying that he's not going.
Yeah, exactly. So Joe Biden will be skipping his planned Amtrak ride from Delaware to D.C. amid security concerns. If you didn't know this, Joe Biden is famously like a mascot for Amtrak. He has been waiting 30 years for this Amtrak ride, which I guess since he first ran for president.
Yeah.
However, after a briefing from FBI and Secret Service officials, Biden's team agreed that the 90-minute train ride should be called off.
What a bummer. This feels like the terrorists won, but I get it. This is their last win.
Honestly, like, between the pandemic and between all this crazy shit going on, Biden, just stay inside, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Please.
We're all fine with it. I was like looking at the Biden inaugural committee. It's just selling like the most darling merch. It's just they're sending like commemorative tickets and they're really doing the most and it's wonderful. They're great.
Yeah, nice.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
On a less warm note, let's talk more about the security concerns and preparation around Wednesday's inauguration. And in this, we're going to talk more about just some of the security findings that we haven't gone into depth in on this podcast. And as Brian mentioned, you know, we're going to learn more and more as the days and weeks and months and years go by after this sort of unprecedented attack. So the FBI has warned police chiefs nationwide to be on high alert amid additional threats on our nation's capital and in all 50 state capitals. In Washington alone, up to 20,000 National Guardsmen and hundreds of city, federal, and state police will be on patrol. I'm sure a lot of us saw those really unsettling images of National Guardsmen hunkered down in the Capitol yesterday. Something that I don't think I expected to see outside of like a scripted series in my life.
That's what I was going to say. It looks like a movie or like a television show.
It really does. Airbnb has canceled and refunded all reservations in and around Washington, D.C. for the next week. Seems smart. One really sinister thing complicating the security prep is that, you know, we now have reason to believe that people inside the Capitol, whether it's those vested to keep lawmakers safe or our actual elected representatives, are themselves the security threats. More than a dozen law enforcement officers and current and former military officials are reported to have taken part in the insurrection that killed a Capitol police officer last week. At least three military veterans have been implicated. Of course, Ashley Babbitt, who gave her own life in service of far-right extremism, was a military veteran. We know that members of the Capitol Police have been suspended while higher-ups investigate why some appeared friendly and sympathetic to insurrectionists. Also, people keep referring to insurrectionists as having zip ties to detain Congress members. That alone is scary enough, but I've seen other military members and veterans just really try to clarify that these weren't zip ties. These were 27-inch restraints. The things these people were wearing were, they were prepared to get into a serious confrontation. The way that they were commanding people to go through windows were tactics you would probably only know if you were in the military.
One of the dudes, this fucking stupid motherfucker, he was like wearing, like he was one of the guys wearing with the zip ties and he was wearing like full combat gear, helmet, whatever. He had a camera on his chest and recorded everything. And they have that. It's like, what were you doing? Like, yeah, perpetrators were dumb this time. Thankfully.
Totally. They live stream their own crimes.
Yeah.
They take after their leader. They just don't even try to hide.
What you were talking about before was what kind of freaked me out the most when you said, like, the thing that's complicating the security prep is that there's reason to believe that people inside the Capitol are actually themselves security threats. When you think about it, you're like, oh my God, because, like, that is just, it's like the call is coming from inside the house. It's really, really scary.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I am the least sort of alarmist person maybe in the SUP universe. I try really hard to be really careful and I just can't believe I wrote that sentence and read it because that's the facts. Like, this is absolutely true and accurate. And it's like when people look at this, you know, as we're getting more distance from what happened, you know, the original response was like, how did all of these, I don't think this, but it's like, how did all of these like MAGA hicks manage this? And it's like, they didn't. They had members of the previous members of the military and people that knew what they were doing helping them. That's not what happened. They knew what, some of them knew what they were doing.
There were former Olympians there. There were real estate agents. There were, like, you know what I mean? Like, these are people. These are just people. everyday people, like the person that you go to the fucking store and get your socks from, like, very well could have been at that fucking thing. Like,
they're definitely like the bad real estate agents where, like, that makes sense because their only job is to open the door.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Maybe they like lit a candle that smelled like cookies. That's the extremist.
Yes.
That's the extreme they'll go to.
Yeah.
So amid this, there are genuine concerns among security officials that armed members of military and law enforcement could pose a threat to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I want to be clear that nobody thinks this is systemic within law enforcement or the armed forces at this point, as in people participating in another deadly situation. Maybe that's naive of me, but that doesn't seem to be the suggestion. But it takes one person or two people. You know, I was reading about an expert saying this. He's like, nobody thinks this is systemic, that all of the military wants to be part. No, nobody's suggesting that. Mm-hmm. But it was probably only a few who were able to aid and abet the MAGA terrorists in getting through the door. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, retired Army officer Representative Jason Crow of Colorado, he was in some of the really striking images of that day. He does have greater concerns. He called the rise of extremism and white supremacy in the ranks a crisis issue. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Mark Milley, wrote an unprecedented letter to forces. He basically wrote condemning the sedition and warning troops to follow the law and that their oath was to the Constitution. This is the same guy who appeared with Trump during the assault on White House protesters over the summer and later apologized for doing so. It got bad, Brian. It got real bad.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many breaking points, like you saying that, like them doing that when they gas protesters so they could take a photo, like a picture. That should have been the breaking point, you know. Like, there's so many, like, when all of these terrible things that he's done before, and it's like, yeah, no shit, he thought he could get away with a fucking attempted coup, like, because of all of the shit that he's been able to get with up until now. So, oh man.
4 years ago, he said, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. And here we are.
Here we are. Five people died from the riot and insurrection that he caused. And literally, he's getting away with it.
Absolutely, people will have, we know how this virus works. People will die as a result of what was a super spreader event, whether they had anything to do with it or not. We already have many members that have tested positive. Some of them are on the older side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so hopefully, you know, at this time next week, we'll be sitting in a Biden administration. They will be working on the trial to ban Donald Trump from ever holding office again. And maybe a new $2,000 stimulus package will be in the work. So
we'll be memeing Lady Gaga. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, there are things to be positive and optimistic about, I would say.
Yes. Same. If anything, he still can't tweet.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, until the return of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast.
The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Our podcast director is Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.